I got to be honest with you. Mother's Day is a tough day. It's a fun day. It's a great day. It's a celebratory day. But yet, someday in our lives, we hit things like a loss. It could be a loss of a mom or maybe a loss of a child, a dear friend. And what happens is on Mother's Day, we're reminded of the loss. We celebrate the good, but we also mourn the loss. And so today it's a mixed bag of emotions. We're glad that you're here. We're celebrating with you, women, that this is your special day, and yet we also are very mindful that this is a tough day for some of you. So this morning I just want to let you know that we're praying for you. We're pulling for you. We're asking God would come alongside you and just speak to you and remind you that you are dearly loved. And that he'll walk alongside you even through the tough times. So Mother's Day does a lot of things, both good and not so good. It's a great day and it's a hard day. And yet, as we've gathered today, we've come to celebrate you women for all the accomplishments, all the things, all the passions, all the drive that you have. And this morning, I just truly do want to celebrate all the good things that have happened. How many first-time moms do we have here this morning? Let me see. First-time moms. There's Amanda. Amanda, you win. You are the first-time mom. Congratulations. It's good to have you guys here. Let me tell you, I know that as we've kind of gone through the worship service this morning, I think Mother's Day needs to kind of be a little bit light, and because it is so hard at times for some people to go through this celebration, this Hallmark holiday, if you will, I think it's okay to play a game once in a while. And so ladies, I've got a game for you. If you're 18 years of age or older, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and get your purses, because you guys take the cake when it comes to bringing treasures to church every week. Let me tell you, I've lost a button on Sunday morning, and I've had someone say, well, here's a sewing kit for you, and I can sew my button on, because that's what women seem to have in their purses. Both mom and women alike, you just seem to carry things that are kind of peculiar, but kind of needed at times. We're going to play a game that kind of dates back as far as 1963. And from 1963 to 1977, let's make a deal with Monty Hall. How many of you recognize Monty Hall? Yes. Now it's Wayne Brady that does it in Technicolor. This was done in black and white, but Technicolor, Wayne Brady now is doing it. But really, it is all about, what do you got in your purse? No, it's not that. It's do I keep what I have, or do I trade it for something else? Do I take my prize and know what it is, or do I trade it in for maybe something better or something maybe not so better? So we're going to play that game this morning. And I'll tell you, ladies, as always, I got Big B gift cards. Surprise, shocker. $5. It will get you a beverage and a half usually. So we're going to play with the Big B gift cards unless, rather than going for a sure thing, you might want to try one of these packages down here. Understand that although it may look pretty, the contents may not be so. So you got a choice. A sure thing, $5 Big B gift card, or a possible chance of winning a better prize. So let's make a deal. I need a woman that can get up here the fastest that has a plastic baggie in their purse. Okay. Yeah. So, Courtney, are you going for the sure thing, $5 gift card? Oh, you want to go to the gift? Okay, all right. So she's going for the bags. Okay, let's see what it is. Oh, a $25 gift card. She traded up. Congratulations. That was a great deal. All right. I'm looking for a woman that has at least...
I think you need this.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Monty Hall back in the 60s had this microphone that was just... Yeah. So, contestants, are you ready for the next one? I am looking for the woman that has more than 10 keys on their key ring. 10 keys on their key ring. I know, gentlemen, you have them, but how about the women? Any woman with 10 keys or greater on their key ring? How about 8? Oh, here, she's coming, she's coming. Let's verify. Yes, Tammy, you have more. Yes, you have 8 keys. So are you going with a sure thing of a $5 gift card, or are you going for one of our packages? Talk to her, people. Talk to her. Oh, she's going with a sure thing, the $5 gift card. Congratulations. Woo! Now I'm looking for a woman that will bring me a prescription drug bottle. Oh, there she is. Here she comes. Yes, that is a prescription drug. Very good. Congratulations. And so are you going for the sure thing, or are you going to trade it in for something greater? Okay, so which bag are you going to want? Okay, let's see if you traded right. Okay, a candle, yes, here we go. Oh, let's see. Let's do one more. The first woman that can bring me a child's toy. Shocker that you would have a Nerf gun in your purse, Tiffany.
It's loaded.
Oh, it's loaded. Right now I'm Monty Hall, okay? I'm not Pastor Rod, I'm Monty Hall, okay? All right, so Tiffany, are you going for the sure thing?
Never.
Okay, so which bag are you going for? All right. So let's see. Let's see what you got. Turn around.
Yeah, this is the saddest part of it all.
Oh, and what goes with it? And at that point, you would hear... Wah, wah. Well, that was a little bit of fun this morning, but what I want us to take us to is a scripture this morning about a mother that was negotiating for a trade. What she wanted is she wanted Jesus to do something that only he could do, and yet Jesus himself says, I can't do it. It's not my choice. It's not my call. I can't do your request because it's not my choice. It's God the Father's choice, what he wants to do. So I invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20, and we're going to look at verses 20 through 23. And we're going to look at the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee. A very familiar passage for most, but an interesting passage because what is happening is a mother is trying to make a request of her sons and wanting to make a deal with Jesus. It says here in verse 20, then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons and kneeling down asked a favor of him. What is it you want, he asked. She said, grant me that these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom. You don't know what you're asking, Jesus said to them. Can you drink the cup that I'm going to drink? We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, you will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father. So in this portion of Scripture, what we see here is a mother's request to go to Jesus and say, Jesus, can you do me a favor? Can we make a deal? Is there a way that somehow my sons would sit at the right or the left side of you at the kingdom? In the kingdom of heaven, would there be a chance, just perchance, that maybe James and John would sit to the right or left side of you guys in the kingdom of heaven? She did that because she loved her sons. She did that because she thought the best of her sons. She did that because she thought maybe they would add value in the kingdom of God. She was just a proud mama. How many proud mamas do we have here this morning? Yes, absolutely. We're proud of our kids. We believe in our kids. Well, Mrs. Zebedee was no different. She believed in her kids. And rightfully so. If you go back and remember the 12 disciples, the followers of Jesus, the three that spent the most time with Jesus was Peter, James, and John. Well, James and John were the sons of Zebedee. So in the inner circle of the 12 disciples, James and John were part of the three that Jesus spent more time with. So obviously, she knew that there was also a natural connection between Jesus and his disciples, especially James and John. And she just wondered if maybe, perchance, there'd be a special place for them to sit at the right side or the left side of Jesus in his kingdom. But in this story, as we read it and as we study it and we kind of stretch out some of the storyline, what I see is there is a game plan for every mother, every father, every follower of Jesus that we need to keep in mind when it comes to living in and longing for the kingdom of heaven, not only for ourselves, but for our children as well. On the back of your bulletin, you'll see an outline for the message this morning. And this is the first step. She prayed for her sons. She prayed that her sons would be a part of the kingdom. She prayed that her sons would be a part of the kingdom. Back to verse 20. When she made the request of Jesus, she didn't do it standing. She came and she knelt before Jesus. I don't know about you, but usually when I'm asking a favor of someone, I don't seem to come up to them and kneel before them and ask them a favor. I just stand and say, hey, can you do me a favor? Well, for some reason, Mrs. Zebedee felt very compelled that she needed to humble herself before Jesus. And kneeling before Jesus, she asked a favor. She asked that her sons be drawn into the kingdom of heaven. She prayed that somehow God would use her sons for the glory of God. I don't know about you, but my mom spent many hours kneeling before God and praying for her children. I saw that patterned over and over again in her life. When we face and circumstances that were out of her control, I saw my mom go to prayer. I saw her closing the door behind her in her bedroom and just kneeling at her bed, lifting her children up and saying, God, do something through the life of my sons, my daughter. I saw a very active woman in faith kneel before Jesus and ask a favor of the Lord. I'll tell you, ladies, never get tired of asking a favor of God when it comes to your children, that your children would know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, that the Lord would speak into their lives and raise them up to be men and women of God. Never tire and never feel like you're imposing a request upon God when you ask for a blessing for your children, because what you're asking for is a blessing for the kingdom's sake, for not only your children's sake, but more importantly, for God's sake and his kingdom. You know, moms, you have many things placed upon you on a daily basis. There's many things to be done inside the daily routine of a household. But then there's opportunities for you to come before the Lord and ask of the Lord to do something supernatural in the life of your children, to raise them up to be God-fearing men and women. On that day that she knelt before the Lord, she knelt before Jesus and she said, can you do me a favor? What she was saying is, Jesus, will you do something for the sake of my sons? Would you move them closer in the kingdom of God? Would you do something that would really catapult them in their faith? And I believe many times, folks, we need, as moms and dads, family alike, we need to come before the Lord and ask for big requests of a big and mighty God. Both my mom as well as my mother-in-law had four children to raise. And as they had four children to raise, they prayed for the salvation of all of their children. And all of their children, both on Terry's side as well as my side, all eight are serving the Lord today. And that's because mom got serious with prayer. She wanted salvation to come to her children and now their grandchildren and even their great-grandchildren. They pray for the salvation of their family. Ladies, take your prayer seriously when you go before God and ask that he would do something in the life of your children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. Just as Mrs. Zebedee came before Jesus and said, "Will you do something for my sons?" Come before the Lord and ask him to do great things in the life of your children. The second thing that I see is she prayed that her sons would be involved in the work of his kingdom. She really prayed that her sons would be involved in the kingdom's work. You know, when you first read this, and you read this request, well, Jesus, could John sit on the right side and James sit on the left side of you? Sometimes you think, wow, she really thought highly of her sons, that her sons would actually sit on the right side and the left side of God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the kingdom. Wow, who does she think her sons are? But really what she was saying is, will you use my sons? See, to sit on the right side or the left side of the king did not mean a place of prominence. It meant a place of service. You served the king. If you sat to the right or the left of the king, you didn't get the accolades, you didn't get the glory, you got the work. You got to partner and help make sure the king got everything that he needed done. So you see, when Mrs. Zebedee was asking for her sons to sit on the right or the left side of Jesus in the kingdom, it was all about, hey, God, Jesus, will you use my kids in your work? Will you get my kids involved in a kingdom that has no end? Will you allow my sons to partner in a kingdom of God? I wonder, moms, I wonder, family, have we ever done that with our children? This morning, Jennifer came and gave Lily up to the Lord in dedication, but And again, we go back to that time that we really truly have given our children to the Lord at dedication. But throughout their course of life, have you given Jesus permission to use your child for his kingdom? Have you gotten to the place in your walk with him that you can present your children to Jesus just like Mrs. Zebedee did on that day and say, God, you can have my family. You can have my marriage. You can have my children. You can have it all. I want to give you our lives so that we can work for your kingdom. I think nowadays in church, we've gotten very comfortable with coming to church, bringing our kids to Sunday school, watching them do a handbell special, celebrate all the wonderful things that our children are doing. But I wonder at times, do we understand that the kingdom of God is hard? The kingdom of God is work. It's not always about the accolades. Sometimes it's the struggle. It's the work. It's the pain. It's the slow drag. But are you willing to give your kids to God? Mrs. Zebedee was willing to. That favor of the right or the left meant, will you use my sons to work for God the Father and his kingdom? Which brings me to the final point. She had big expectations. She believed that God was going to do something powerful in the life of her sons. As we said earlier, James and John were part of the three. Peter, James, and John. They got to see many things because they were in the inner circle of Jesus. but far greater than what they saw here on earth. Mrs. Zebedee saw something far greater in the kingdom that has no end. She had big expectations of what her sons could do if given permission. And if we could give our children that same permission to do whatever God would have them to do, what could God do with our children? What could God do with our lives? What could God do with the life of this church? If we just simply, with humble obedience and full submission, say, God, you can do what you need to do in my life, in my family's life. So on this day, when Mrs. Zebedee came and knelt before Jesus, she asked the Lord for something great. And my question to you, ladies, is, are you asking the Lord for something great in your life, in your family, in your relationship with him? And I challenge you, if you haven't, to start getting big dreams. Start praying big prayers. Start believing for greater things, both in your life and the life of your family. And start believing, knowing that God truly does hear and answer our prayers. So will you stand with me this morning? God, I thank you for, moms that are willing to ask of big things of a God that is so willing to answer big things. I thank you, Lord, for James and John's mom that was willing to go and ask for something that seemed so extravagant and yet so practical because she wanted her sons to be used by you, God. And Lord, on this Mother's Day, I pray for every mom, but every family member. And I pray, God, that each and every one of us would understand the blessing of saying, God, you can have my life. You can have it all. You can do something that you want to do in and through my life. And God, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with you moving me into a kingdom that has no end. And even with the struggle and the slow drag at times it may be, God, I'm willing to do what you want me to do. I'm willing to go where you want me to go. I'm willing to say what you want me to say. So Lord, as your church, as your family, we say you have full permission to use us in your kingdom. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.